Hey guys, what's going on? You are listening to Twig, the Flags of Stupidity.
The van of
everyone has been destroyed because of this freak. I won't allow it. These babies just saved this lame death party.
You are listening to Twig, the flagship of stupidity, available exclusively here on ThisWeekInGeek.net. I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd, returning from the land of ill this past week. So, big apologies, there was no show last week. I was literally dying. Feel pretty good today, though. Feeling very energetic, very good. But I'm not alone as I trek through the world of Nintendo and gaming this week. I am joined with...
the also not sick Alex.
Thankfully not sick, Mr. Christopher.
Woohoo! It's a full crew here today. Very, very happy to have everybody here on the show. It has been an exciting week. If you're a gamer, there has been the Black Ops beta came out this past week, which I'll talk about in just a minute. We're going to spend the entire news segment talking about the latest Nintendo Direct, all the news that came out of Japan.
Jam-packed.
Oh my god, so much stuff to unpack.
I about came in my pants. It was going to be a mess everywhere.
Oh boy.
If just one more game had been announced.
I was very surprised, but we'll talk about that when we get to that. But one of the first things I want to talk about here in the opening segment is this past week, they've actually had a beta for Call of Duty Black Ops 4 for the PlayStation and available this weekend on Xbox One and PC. And a lot of people are asking, Mike, what do you think? I'm a Call of Duty fan. I'm a Black Ops fan. They did a phenomenal job. I've been playing on PlayStation and Xbox One. And I've been looking for a Battle Royale game that isn't Fortnite, that isn't PUBG. I'm having frigging a blast. Oh my god, I'm having a blast with this.
I've checked it out on the PC myself, and it feels like everything PUBG was trying to be, but put into a AAA studio with the resources and all the polish that a Call of Duty game can put onto something like that.
Yeah, I am so surprised. Now, the fact that it runs smooth, there's no building.
That's Activision, right?
Yeah, Activision, Treyarch, and Beenox.
So what I find funny about that is how big of a push EA was doing
for Battlefield 5, the open beta.
That and or even just when at E3 when everything they were talking about was, you know, Battlegrounds and everything is they're always behind the curve, and then their biggest competitor is doing something beyond what they can even think about doing.
Well, I know Battlefield V or 5 or whatever it is called, I think it has a higher player cap. Activision, I think, has it up to 88, I think.
Yeah, I think it depends on the game mode, maybe. But pretty much every game I've been in was between 80 and, I want to say, just under 90.
The other thing is, this isn't, it's not a new concept, though, having this many players. Because what was that Sony property that was like a space one? You were a Marine or whatever dropped in?
Mag?
No. Yeah, I remember Mag. It was one of the first. Oh, yeah, PlanetSide. Okay, I play a lot of PlanetSide, too.
I was going to say, didn't that have, 100 player versus 100 player or 64 versus 64 back... 10 years ago?
Yeah, I think the original PlanetSide 1 had pretty massive scale combat, and now PlanetSide 2, although it's not as popular as it was supposed to be, it's still a persistent world, and you can end up with fights with over 200 people in it if your computer can handle it, because it does render everybody. It gets a bit intense.
If people think it's a relatively new phenomenon, it's not. It was around.
No.
It's just...
It's been something that a lot of developers have struggled with to make it work well, to make everything balanced, because you could end up with just chaos, and that's just not fun for
anyone. Isn't that sort of what the Sony one had become?
Anyway, there's a mismanagement with the PlanetSide 2. They were Sony Online Entertainment. Now they're Daybreak Games because they were bought out. But the mismanagement was more in the way of paid transactions and cosmetics and other things, and less about the actual gameplay itself. There were weird decisions with the development process, but overall the gameplay, the gunplay, it always felt pretty good. So that's not new.
I mean, one of the things that I was surprised how well it is they introduced, I think, so don't quote me on this, there was a hot fix or a hot patch over the course of the week. Because one of the big complaints that the players were having about this game is inventory management and how long it took to pick up items. Now it's just press X, press circle, and just gotta stop snapping. And it's just press the button and it instantly picks up. Now I'd like it if you ran over ammo and it just picks up, but we'll worry about that later. But ultimately, I'm really surprised how smooth it runs.
As someone who goes in quads and duos, running over ammo to pick it up, I can see the benefits there, but at the same time, if you have a weapon, ammo? You're using a 5.56 and someone else is using a 9mm, you're not going to want to run over the 9mm ammo accidentally, then have to go in their menu and drop it again, and then it goes from there. You just want to pick up what you want to pick up.
If you're running in a squad together, wouldn't it be cool if it could just share the ammo equally amongst, like, if whatever weapon you're using, ammo is just a generic ammo, and then when you hit it, it gives you a certain amount of that ammo and gives your teammates a certain amount of their ammo.
Well, maybe, I read someone wanted the guns to have infinite ammo.
No.
But no.
No, there's something fun, there's something interactive, and it's enjoyable to share what ammo you have, or I have a whole bunch of this ammo, but I picked up a gun that doesn't use it, so I'm going to give you that ammo because you need that. There's that sense of teamwork. Being able to help out the players that are in your squad there, but when you are solo, it's kind of eh.
Yeah, like, I've played mostly solos. I played a couple of squads, not with anybody I knew, but I would help them out. I'd revive them. I'd try and hang back. My best game was a solo. I placed 7th out of however many people, and I had 6 kills. I was so blown away that I feel competent in a Battle Royale game. You know what? I'll say this. Fuck Fortnite. I'm never going back. That game's likely going to get uninstalled. I'll watch the game all because I love watching, like, streamers play it. But, nah, I'm Call of Duty Blackout all the way.
This is the Battle Royale I've been waiting for. There's no building element. I understand what Fortnite's trying to do. By all means, if you like Fortnite, go ahead. But this has no building. It's just
street fighting.
It's strategy. It's using what is there to your advantage. And it's more skill-based. The guns have accuracy and burst fire means something, while in Fortnite everything just has bloom and like a cone at all times for accuracy.
Yeah, and like there's actual bullet drop.
Yeah, if you have a sniper rifle, you can actually snipe people. If you have an assault rifle, it behaves like an assault rifle instead of just spraying.
And vehicles that aren't golf carts.
Exactly, exactly. It takes it a little bit more seriously. Not so seriously that you're all hardcore or whatever. I'm sure there's an audience for that, but it's a game that you feel like you're in the environment and it's not cartoony and just silly.
Unless you run into the zombies maps, which I did one match, Tristan, and this was so much fun. I can't believe this happened. So I'm fighting zombies. I got the fucking ray gun! And I'm like, holy shit, and this guy comes from around the corner. He's got a shotgun. I'm like, ah! So I shot him in the face with the ray gun. Dead. Just dropped dead. And I was like, oh my god, this is so much fun! Sorry, and Activision did provide me with a code for this, so full disclosure. But no,
it's a beta, so
it's a beta. But oh my god, this was fun! I've been playing it all week. I can't wait till this game drops. Activision, man, we have got a squad up on PS4 or PC or something. There is no crossplay yet.
Well, there won't be if it's Sony involved.
Yeah, which sucks. But to see ball, Xbox Sony. And PC play together like Fortnite, I'd be down for that. So, anyway, guys, coming up on the show this week, we have a lot of video game stuff to break down. In fact, this pretty much is almost a Twig/prototype because we're talking about Nintendo Direct. That'll be our entire news segment. We also have, me and Alex will have a pre-recorded discussion about Sony's new Spider-Man game from Insomniac Games. And we're also going to talk about Fire Pro Wrestling as we exit the show this week, which is another multiplayer title exclusive to the PlayStation 4 and PC. So without any further ado, let's throw things over to me and Alex as we do everything a spider can, despite being rather, well, fat fucks. We'll be back right here on Twig, the flagship stupidity, brought to you by LibrisArcana.com.
What are you calling a fat fuck?
Need a new weapon in your battle against evil? Check out LibrisArcana.com for Canada's premier RPG dice subscription service for only $7.97 Canadian with free shipping. You can get a new complete set of role-playing dice from D4s to D20s delivered straight to your door. Dice themes are new each month and can be anything your mind can imagine and beyond. Visit LibrisArcana.com and subscribe for only $7.97 Canadian with free shipping and be prepared to open up new worlds of adventure. Today we are looking at Insomniac Games' Spider-Man, available exclusively for the PlayStation 4. A review copy was provided to us from Sony. That being said, this is easily, as of right now, my game of the year. I could not have been more impressed with Insomniac's treatment of the Spider-Man character. This game is pretty much phenomenal from start to finish. But I'm not alone as I do this review. We're going to do kind of a discussion on this game. I'm joined with my co-host, Alex, who you heard in the previous segment.
Indeed. And if you hear me yawning, it's not at the game. It's because, talk about Insomniac, I played this game basically 2 days straight.
Yeah, myself included. Basically, a lot of sleepless nights lost on this game. I did play the game, and I haven't done this since Arkham Knight. And that's a game I'm going to compare this to. I got 100% completion. I am 97% done all the trophies. I might actually platinum this.
Oh, wow.
I am legitimately so impressed with this game because normally games that have the open world tropes of collect-a-thons or challenges, I get kind of discouraged because you either have to have either a lot of patience or there's a skill cap. Here, I feel like Spider-Man.
Absolutely, and in my case, I got, because I did a power marathon, the main mission, and then some of the side missions, I got about 86 to 89% completion, of course, completing the game, just I didn't do every collectible part, which, you know, it starts out pretty easy, where there's only a few things to, and it slowly expands with new categories to collect afterwards, which I liked. This is probably one of the best, not just exclusives of this generation, one of the best games of this generation of game consoles.
Yeah, like literally, I was saying this on Twitter. This is a system seller. If you can get the Spider-Man Edition PS4 Pro, first off, you're lucky because they're going for ridiculous prices
and
right now.
That's what my brother picked up, and he wasn't sure about, he's one of those people that likes either black or white, very sleek. He saw the system and went, oh, yeah, you know what? I kind of like that. It's a very cool red design. The controller's really nice, and then of course it comes with the game, and contrary to what a lot of bundles do now, it actually comes with the physical copy of the game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so for those of people that like to be collectors, that's something you might want to look out for.
Now, speaking of collectors, I did have the privilege of playing the collector's edition of this game in addition to playing the standard. Basically, this gave me some early unlocks, some additional spider suits, such as the Iron Spider, the Velocity suit, and I think something else, but you also got 5 additional skill points when you start off the game. The game will draw most of its comparisons to the Arkham Asylum series, and it most feels like Arkham Knight if it were to draw any comparisons, but the combat feels more fluid than Batman ever did, just thanks to Spidey's sense, literally able to dodge and weave out of combat.
And the parkouring.
Yeah, like running around and web swinging in this game feels phenomenal. They took what Activision did in 2004, Spider-Man 2, which was a physics-based kind of like a pendulum swing, and perfected it. Like, stuff sticks to building.
Yeah.
You use the game's photo mode, which is a lot more fun than I thought I was going to have because I'm an ex-photographer. You can see webbing sticking to buildings.
Oh, and then there's, you know, some destructible parts of environments.
You can use the environment as a weapon.
Absolutely, and it really is. You were saying it earlier. It's sort of a mixture between the 2004, said, Spider-Man 2, and the Batman games.
Yeah, like it's funny because a lot of people said Arkham did it first. I watched, I think it was a GameSpot documentary on it, and a lot of the stuff that came from the 2004 game has been perfected here. So over 14 years, they took the spider sense combat using the environment as a weapon and everything else and made it work here. They perfected it. And this is definitely a step up from the 2014 Amazing Spider-Man 2, which to me was a guilty pleasure game. I thought the web swinging was really fun in that game. I actually had a lot of fun with it. But this one blows that game out of the water. Like Alex said, this is a system seller. This is one of the best games of the generation. And one of the things to talk about here is the storyline. Now, initially going into this game, I thought it was going to be really lame because they're focusing on a new villain named Mr. Negative, who's been around the comics since, I think, the mid-2000s. And surprisingly...
Yeah, like 2010 or something like that.
Something like that. And it's really not. Now, this does take some liberty, so this isn't Earth 616 from the Marvel Universe.
You can't really take liberties when it's a comic book with millions of variations already.
Well, yeah, like this is like they're going to introduce this version of Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse in the upcoming comic. I think it's called Spider-Geddon.
It's like they cherry-picked the best aspects of all the different comics
and made it their own.
Ultimates or Ultimate Spider-Man
616.
All that. They took what they liked and cherry-picked them, like some of the villains, you know, not surprised, Vulture, and others.
Vulture, Electro.
They're not from Ultimate. They're from other series. But then you've got Miles Morales in it.
Yep.
And so you've got that, and they change a bit of the origins of some of the characters.
Some of the things you do see coming a mile away. We're not gonna give story spoilers here.
Just that they've tweaked enough that it'll keep you wondering what's gonna happen.
It feels fresh, and that's what I like about this game. I was never like, oh man, this is boring. But that being said, one of the best parts about this game is actually the portrayal of the voice actor who plays Peter Parker / Spider-Man, Yuri Lowenthal. I know him mostly from the Prince of Persia games, if I'm not mistaken, from Ubisoft, and I was utterly blown away by how nuanced and how well he gave it. This is the best Peter Parker since the 90s animated series, and I did not think I'd ever say that.
Yeah, I'd say the voice acting is one of the best I've heard in recent years, and not only that, just the whole visual presentation. It's not the best as far as character animations and facial animations. What they've done, though, is it's not just the texturing, it's the nuances of their emotions, like a quivering lip that you didn't see.
Or maybe their eyes shift for a second.
Yeah, or a micro, like a microaggression twitch that, you know, from an eyelid moving. But the big one I noticed was the ability to, when you're angry or upset, they twitch their lips.
Yeah.
Like a human actually does, which I don't think I've seen ever before in a game.
Like, one of the best parts about this, right towards the end of the game, you're in a fight with a boss, and it's just the emotion that comes out during that fight. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
And there's a pretty sad moment right at the end of the game, and I'm not afraid to say it. I teared up.
And that's to say, like, it's, any good game is going to have that, especially if it's story-driven, it's going to have moments that make you sad, moments that make you cheer, moments that make you angry, and all for all the right reasons, obviously.
Yeah, like this game did almost everything right. Now, I do say almost. This game isn't perfect because I had a number of glitches, mostly involving checkpoints. I had one glitch where I was doing a mission with one of the other characters. I don't want to say who. I was discovered, but because I was right at the checkpoint where the mission was ending, it just let me through. Another one happened. I had several hard crashes with this game, but after the most recent patch, I didn't have that problem again. If this game has any weak point, it's some of the side characters. Not because of the characters themselves are weak, it's because their mission variety is weak. They're stealth missions. They're forced stealth. And it isn't until you get more gadgets in those stealth missions do they become fun.
Yeah, I kind of felt that they were unnecessary. And like, you could have gotten away with maybe having one mission with each. Like, it just seemed... It seemed a little like it was there just to slow you down.
Yeah, like, I could see, because it's been seen in trailers, the Mary Jane missions, I see those as necessary. But the other character, that... Outside of the big mission, Alex, and you know which I'm talking about.
Yes.
That was necessary. The other one... It's a tutorial. Why bother?
And I mean, it's to get you prepared for it, but they could have put the tutorial at the beginning of that main mission.
Yeah, exactly. It was just there just to pad.
Yeah, it was a little... The padding was there. The other thing was they fell into the trope of you have certain missions to do and certain things to collect at the beginning of the game, and they just recycle it with a new splash of paint.
Yeah, like you'll fight crimes and then you'll fight different factions doing the same thing.
And it was a lot of repeating that. So between that and I did have a couple technical glitches where I fell through the ground.
I never had that happen.
I took a screenshot of it, and it was out of nowhere. It just boom. And I'm now it is one thing to note. I believe you're playing it on a vanilla old, PS4.
Yeah, old PS4.
And I'm playing it on a Pro. Now that should mean a difference. It shouldn't make it so that mine has more problems or anything. It's just I did notice that in playing it, it whatever graphical requirements it has of the system, it made my PlayStation sound like a jet engine.
I never heard my PlayStation, but then again, mine's pretty well across the room, so...
Yeah, no, the Pro will do that when you're playing a 4K game that isn't necessarily quite optimized. Like, there was no lag or load times or anything. It's just, I could tell it was taxing my system a fair bit. Like, it was really fast. So, for me, you know, we don't really have a scoring point system. It's just, do we recommend it or not? This is... away from being like an excellent perfect game, it's one step down, because there's a couple things that could be fixed easily with patches.
Yeah, exactly. I think overall this is a solid system seller. If you've ever had a game that put you on the fence about buying a PS4, buy Spider-Man. You're not going to be sorry. And that is our review from us here at This Week in Geek.
News on the mark.
Swinging back into the regular news, Nintendo Direct finally happened after they postponed it for a while thanks to the earthquake that happened over in Japan. That's very unfortunate. But on September 13th, they put out the Nintendo Direct, and oh man, what a Direct it was. It was full of news for both the Switch and the 3DS, including some very special announcements and some interesting little teasing they did right at the end of the Direct.
Yeah.
So you guys are the Nintendo people. I am still a reluctant Switch owner, but I'm more excited for certain elements that came out of this. Smash.
I rate the Nintendo Directs on a scale of 0 to 10 of how erect I get after watching it.
That'd be a scale of 6 to 12.
Yeah, well, no. I mean, sometimes you're flaccid. Sometimes you get a half chub going, then it's just... sometimes it's just nothing. But this was a pretty big blue veiner. It was a...
oh, boy.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It was a throbbing Nintendo Direct.
It was probably a 9. A 10 would be, like, when they announced the Switch itself. Because that was just...
yeah, the big bomb.
Yeah, this is about an 8 or a 9 out of 10 for me, specifically. It shows... the big thing to come out of this is... well, two things, I would say, in my opinion... one, it looks like we're eventually going to be getting every single Wii U title that was a first-party title that they feel has legs. Because I looked at with my roommate after we watched it, there's really only about 3 or 4 titles left that anybody would want that were exclusive.
Like Mario Maker?
Mario Maker, but they'll probably make a sequel, so that won't probably come.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a new one entirely. But as far as a port directly... there is a Paper Mario game, Color Splash, which I didn't know existed, because, again, I didn't have the system, but and it came out right near the end of the life cycle.
What was it called something else when it was on the 3DS?
No,
on the...
yeah, Paper Mario Color Splash or something like that.
Huh. Okay.
Nobody had it.
Yeah, I own a Wii U, and I still don't know that one.
Yeah, there's that. The Wonderful 101.
That's going to be great.
And I have a feeling it's going to come. And then there's the two RPGs, Xenoblade Chronicles X, which probably will come because of how successful Xenoblade Chronicles 2 was.
Yeah, suddenly
and they're
Xenoblade
built on the
is
same
mainstream
engine.
Again.
It's just that they might have to tweak it a little bit because it was a little more... it's funny that the Wii U was a little more graphically intensive than what the current system is. It's just, it was. So there's that, and then there's the crossover they did with Atlas. Shin Megami Tensei crossed over with Fire Emblem Tokyo Mirage Sessions. Now, that's an exclusive that a lot of people wanted, but nobody wanted the system. I could see that having legs and coming over. Then there was another title. There's a couple Zeldas, but they weren't anything specific that were exclusive, right? That would warrant it coming over. I think there was... we haven't Mario 3D Land hasn't been announced.
Okay. Yeah.
So, and then that's basically it. So it's like Mario 3D Land, and then the rest are going to either be...
Isn't new Super Luigi coming over or something?
Yeah, yes. What they just talked about is the new Super Mario and the new Super Luigi coming
with extra characters and stuff. It's
to Switch.
And they can charge full price for those games because 90% of the fans didn't buy the system initially.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
which it's weird to think that we live in an age where Nintendo doesn't have best-selling hardware. I remember when we thought for a while here on the show the Wii U was going to force Nintendo to go strictly handheld. And
it
they kind of have with the Switch.
They had to reinvent their strategy
They
completely.
Don't view it as a handheld. Because they still have the 3DS,
and they're still supporting the 3DS too.
Well,
there's new titles coming.
There's talk for at least a year or two or more.
Wow!
They're going to keep supporting it if it keeps selling. They just announced three new SKUs for color variations and bundles.
Yeah, there's like a Zelda one. There's like a Pokemon one.
Well, they've abandoned the 3DS itself.
Yeah, now
that's
it's
the 2DS XL.
Yeah,
and that's still it's $200 a pop. It's basically half the price of a Switch, but. You can get protective cases that kids could drop it down the stairs and you won't worry about it.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing where if your kid takes it to school, it's not going to go missing or be destroyed, necessarily. And if it does, it's not as big of a problem.
The cottage in the summertime, they're not going to take the Switch with them. They'll take the 3DS.
Exactly. They're playing in the backseat of the van for a three-hour drive. They're not taking the Switch.
Yeah, because the 3DS just has better battery.
Better battery. It's just more
rugged.
And it's
got a really great library of games.
It does. And at this point
now... Backwards compatibility, too.
They're dirt cheap.
Yeah,
the not the console. The console's still $200, but the games, many great games can be had for less than $20.
Well, I think you can get a 2DS for less than $150.
Yeah, some of the basic models you can get really dirt cheap.
Yeah, because I've seen SKUs go cheap.
Is this okay? It might be clearing something up because I believe all SKUs have been discontinued except for the 2DS XL.
Yeah.
So you might still be able to get one of those red or blue 2DSs.
Smash ones
there's the solid
the brick ones. Yeah, you might be able to get those for like $50 to $100.
Yeah, because I gave one to a friend of mine who had some financial difficulty about a year or two ago, and he was super thrilled with it.
Because they're fantastic too. It's just I have a 2DS XL, and the bigger screen is needed in my opinion.
I prefer it to play Smash on, personally.
As someone who's never had an XL version of any of the DSs, I really need the bigger screen. The smaller one just doesn't work anymore.
It just fits better in your hands. It's made for adults.
Exactly. You can see what's going on. You can read text. And having to put your face 2 inches from the screen.
The hinge on it's a little loose. It's not that it's going to break. It's just not as... It doesn't snap like the DS Lite did.
Yeah. I missed that. Very satisfying little clip.
But yeah, so coming out of this, there was that. The one is, looks like we're going to eventually be getting all those games, like, eventually. The other thing is, it really shows how big Octopath Traveler was.
Mm-hmm.
I know they sold over 1 million copies in North America, which they never thought they were going to do. They thought,
No one cares about JRPGs in America.
Yeah, they'll be
anymore.
Like, we might get 500,000 because of all the Final Fantasy fans. No, it sold 1 million. They shipped 3 million. It's going to sell. It's going to keep selling.
Yeah, it's still selling fast.
To the point now that there was talk that Square Enix was creating a division for the Switch alone, and they showed off. I think it was between 7 and 10 games.
Yeah, this direct has Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles coming to
remastered from
Switch.
From the ground up.
Final Fantasy VII. Final Fantasy IX, Final Fantasy X,
and
12.
But 12 is the big one because that was a PS4 exclusive, the remaster on that. And it was a fairly extensive remaster when I played it. So, and looking at the gameplay of it, there wasn't any little trickery showing where it's like not actual Switch gameplay. No, that was clearly running in Switch. So it's running at probably 720p versus the 4K that it did on the PS4.
Mm-hmm.
But it still looks good.
Yeah, you can play these Final Fantasy games in pretty decent quality anywhere.
You wouldn't want those games necessarily in anything above 720p if you're playing it in portable mode anyway.
Final Fantasy VII, although the whole remaster thing, et cetera, et cetera, the original isn't exactly high definition.
No. And so you've got those coming out, those Final Fantasies, the Pocket Edition of Final Fantasy XV. So yes, you can finally play Final Fantasy XV with 3DS graphics.
Yeah, it looks weird.
Interestingly enough, all of the music is identical, so it has the 5.1 surround track that was orchestrated, And almost all the lines of dialogue are the original lines from the game. So it almost plays exactly like the game. And I heard it's a lot easier because you don't have to do any of the really the grinding or the running around. So it's a shorter experience. And I guess if you don't have any other system, it's $25.
It gives you access to that title, even if it's not the original experience.
It's probably not going to be as dramatic because you're not going to see the facial expressions on people when they have heartbreaking things happen.
Not as expressive in that style of...
You know, like, if somebody gets, sprites. I don't know, maimed or something similar, spoilers for people, the emotional turmoil might not be the exact same because on the photorealistic versus that. But... they've got those, and I think they might have. Did they announce anything else from them?
Square.
No, it was Final Fantasy. They showed off all those.
Final Fantasy.
I'd like to know why Final Fantasy VIII's missing.
Because eight was released as
a PlayStation.
As a PS1 classic game, but they didn't remaster it onto the Steam or PS4. Which is what they had done for the previous ones. Final Fantasy 9, 7, 10, 10, 2 are available on Steam and on PS4.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think a port's been made of that yet.
That's a shame. I liked 8. I know a lot of people didn't, but I
would
I
like if
it.
if they released it, you know, up the polygon, not the count, but up the resolution.
Yeah,
a bit.
Make it not look janky in the spots.
Because it was janky even when it came out.
Yeah.
That's actually my favorite of that group.
One thing, and this surprises me, not Square related, but a game that was announced as a remaster, and this one is for Blair. We are not a Switch household.
Yeah.
But she will play the shit out of Katamari. out of Katamari.
Now, is it the original?
It's Katamari Damacy.
Was that for PS2?
I think so, or maybe PS3.
Or Saturn or something? It's from that era of, like, late PS1, early PS2 era, I think.
I think PS2.
Because I don't believe it's the PS3 game.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's
because there were multiple sequels for the
PS3.
That's
the thing, right? So, and those games have become pretty rare. Like, you can't...
Which is weird.
Because
I used to have a bunch of them.
Well, they had such short production runs. So, that looks really cool. I know we're going out... We're not going to go in order because anybody wants to watch it in order. It's just what comes to mind. One of the crazy things is Game Freak, the Pokemon company, looks like they're not only just putting out this Pokemon, you know, remake
Let's
game
go,
now.
Let's go Pikachu, etc.
Yeah, and then looks like they're trying to buffer themselves between now and the next real Pokemon game, so maybe don't expect it in 2019, because they've got a whole new RPG coming out, which...
Town,
you know, name pending. Like
working title.
But it looks charming and fun and interesting, and... You know it's not going to be buggy. It's not going to have major issues because Game Freak is... They're freaks for quality.
Yeah, they like polish. They like to make sure everything works the way they intended it to work.
You can basically think... you can think a couple games. You can think how the surprise success of Kingdom Battle. Because it's like, oh, strategy... Mario can do a strategy game and it can sell over 1 million copies. Nobody thought that was going to happen. And then Xenoblade sold over 2 million copies in the States, I believe. Which... is the first time that I think Nintendo's had a JRPG do that since maybe the heyday of Square with them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't even know if they sold over 1 million of Final Fantasy VI or III back in the day.
I don't know if
Nintendo's even had a game that sold that much as an RPG in the States.
Not for a while.
Because I know Mario RPG didn't sell that much.
Which is sad.
Like people think of these big games from the 90s, and they really only sold like 600,000, you know, a million maximum.
They were comparatively niche to what it is now.
That's why Final Fantasy VII was such a big deal, that it sold 10 million copies over multiple years. But it sold 10 million copies, which was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big deal, and then you've got the success of those two games, and then, you know, other... RPGs that are being ported over, you've got all the Diablos and all that sort of stuff. So it's becoming the RPG system again, which they haven't been since the Super Nintendo era.
Yeah, they're showing that they can play more than just Mario, Zelda, and whatever kids' games are around. They can bring on these more mature titles, more narrative titles, like RPGs, like Diablo 3. So it's an every person's console, not just kids.
Yeah.
One of the things I didn't expect coming to the Switch, board games.
Yeah, like, Settlers of Catan.
And they don't look like shit. And
Munchkin, yeah.
Like, I'll be honest, most of the time when board games come, they're just shit produced by small studios that want to cash in because it's an easy thing to do.
It's an easy license to grab.
It might not be easy to code because, you know, coding a game isn't easy, but, you know, if you want to code Solitaire or even most board games, the logic for it is in books anywhere you can find. It's just about coding the graphics, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But this looks like a pretty good professional production.
If you told me the Switch was going to get... If we're talking board games, if it could get Pandemic, Ticket to Ride... I'm trying to think what would be another really big board
game. Well, Pandemic's coming.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Pandemic's in the list.
Okay. A one that would be really cool for me... It's a niche game, and I say niche, there's hundreds of thousands of players.
Yeah, board games are generally niche.
Twilight Imperium. The game takes for... The last time I played it, it took 12 hours between me and my friends, but good it God. Was so much fun.
Well, Catan's the big one.
Yeah, Catan's huge, and Munchkin from Steve Jackson Games.
You know what this is? This is to get in, and you notice a lot of people are having these sorts of... These and card games... They're trying to get in before Gwent and Hearthstone take a hold of it,
and that's a good idea. Because hell, you can play Fallout Tactics all on
stuff
too.
I fucking guarantee you that if they tried to come up with these board games and everything afterwards, they wouldn't sell anything because they have like their dedicated hardcore fan base.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look, it's not even close as far as people playing card games. It's the card games that sell, like Hearthstone and.
Yeah,
and Gwent specifically.
Yeah, with card games, there's such an opportunity to sell DLC, sell the packs of cards because that's just
how long is it going to be till we get Magic the Gathering?
Well, oh yeah, Magic the Gathering Online has a history all on its own. The different services available to play Magic Online have always been kind of hashed together. So something
what I would like to see next is have like Wizards of the Coast put out interactive. Like a way to play D&D with your friends. But then I guess you'd have to have voice chat working in it.
Yeah. Yeah, the D&D community online kind of does their own thing anyway. Yeah, they make
but,
it work.
But
on their
if you told me if they could port over stuff, I'm surprised that we haven't seen like if they're porting all these classic RPGs, maybe you could port over like Baldur's Gate and stuff like that. Considering one of the games I never thought I'd see on the Switch is Civilization.
Yep.
That game is freaking intense.
And Civ 6, I know how it's working. My brother had it, and he's got this crazy, you know, like we're talking like $3,000 computer that he's put together. And he put it on max, you know, 4K and all this, and it struggled. And he's got like a 1080, whatever.
Yeah.
So he's got a good GPU, but that game is so complex and all the calculations it does, and it's just all the things going on at once, that it can crawl. Yet, it's so versatile that if you take the slider for all the quality settings down to minimum, it can run and it makes it look like a GameCube-era game. So it looks like it's probably running the same engine that it runs in general.
It's just a low setting.
They just add a low setting. Which people, honestly, like you got hardcore fans that want it at max. But the reality is, that's a game that can run on any... doesn't matter what the graphic settings are, really.
That's what a lot of games... should strive for if they can, is being available for a variety of systems, variety of rigs for PC and whatever consoles you want it to be on. Just have it scaled.
And I mean, it sounds like it's a lot of remakes and that, but it is. But a lot of these things are just getting it available for the first time in a portable platform that's reliable. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not having to carry a laptop around with you. Because you've got the Super Mario... Land, I guess it was. What's it called?
New Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, New Super Mario Brothers. God, too many names. 3D Land,
Thankfully,
World.
It looks like Nintendo's getting a little better at naming things again. Going back to some classic conventions instead of being confusing. Maybe they learned a bit from their Wii U debacle.
But
like Super Mario Party, that's a classic title. That's how you name a game for Nintendo without it being too confusing.
Yeah, basically. A lot of the games that are coming over from the Wii U, I never played, and most people never played.
I played most of them because Nintendo used to provide me with review copies, but once I played them once, I was done with them. Now that I might play them on the Switch, you know what? I'm kind of down for that.
And, I mean, they can charge full price because they're adding extra things to it. You're getting extra characters.
Yeah. Extra levels, probably,
which
too.
Which is, you know, pretty cool. trying to think if there's anything else with that.
The NES style controllers.
Yeah, garbage online garbage. Service, first of all.
Okay, our online service, they fucked it up already. they fucked it up hard already.
Yeah, they've been bungling this one for a while now.
As soon as you stop being a member, they delete your cloud saves.
That's slightly misleading. They said they can't guarantee the integrity of the cloud saves.
That's horseshit.
Okay. Looking into it, the way it's worded, if you don't renew within a month, they delete your saves.
Fuck you.
So there's that. They still won't let you rename your account or anything. It's there's a lot of bullshit involved with it. But, okay, be honest. Nintendo doesn't view themselves as... It's weird. They don't view themselves as competitors to the other companies when it comes to the online space.
No.
They never have. And I remember reading an article where one of the people that jumped ship from Nintendo went to Sony when they were developing their cloud systems. I can't remember his name, and I can't pronounce his name either, unfortunately. he went to the board of directors and said, here's what we need to do. They were shown, here's the baseline for what you need for online services. This was in the Wii U era.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, here's what you need. You need cloud saves. You need this, 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 and this. Look what these competitors are doing. And they said, don't, openly at the meeting, don't ever talk about an Xbox or a PlayStation because we don't even know what those systems do. They don't even look at them. They don't even look at their competitors to see what they do at all, because they consider themselves an entertainment toy company. A toy company first. Mm-hmm. They are a software company that happens to make hardware, whereas Microsoft and Sony are hardware companies that happen to have software.
Before they were full game producers, they were making other things.
Yes. So Nintendo has a very different philosophy. They are... It might be different now, but they were blind to it for years. And that's why the system turned out to be a piece of shit. Like, nobody wanted... Oh, I got a portable controller that can't go more than 8 feet away from the screen. So what's the point of having it if you can't leave the room with the... Like, it was so stupid. Anyway, I don't want to go down that road, but it's... There's issues with their online service, and it's the price point is cheap. The games that they're allowing you to play are garbage.
Nobody, honestly, it should be everything from their library.
Yeah. Nobody gives a fuck about Balloon Fight. It came on the stupid NES Classic, and nobody plays it. Nobody cares if you can play those games online, because you know what? You can shut down all the emulation sites you want. Those games are going to pop up online any day, every day. There's websites where you can go and play them online.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about those. People care about Super Nintendo. They don't care about NES anymore. You've released NES titles. Like, do I need to play Mario Brothers for the 30th time? Like, on different consoles, and different revisions, and you have to charge me again for it? No, nobody cares. And the only people that are going to get that are people that are super completists that want it. Now, I don't care about the games they're providing there. I want the cloud saves, which I guess I have to keep paying for. Yeah. I want the cloud saves, and I want online play, because you can't play online at all without it.
Yeah, and for games like Splatoon and stuff like that.
So, at the $25 Canadian price point, it's not bad.
Yeah, thankfully, the price point is reasonable. They know they're not going to be competitive with Sony and Microsoft, so they're not charging the same as Sony and Microsoft.
Those controllers are complete dog shit. Did you read the fine print for it?
No.
No, I didn't look into them.
Okay, so they look gaudy as fuck when they try to... You try to snap them in.
Can you picture somebody trying to play with those just regularly?
They only work with not just online games, with those NES titles they're releasing. They will only work there. You can't even navigate to it. You have to open it with the normal Joy-Con, and then you get to use those controllers.
Lame, and I suddenly have less interest now.
Why bother?
Not only that. Even better, you can only buy them from Nintendo directly.
For like 60 American.
That. 60 American for two controllers, right? That not only that, obviously there's no Amiibo support. They're very stripped down. They have a D-pad. They don't have an analog stick or anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not only do you have to buy them from them directly, they will not sell them to you until you subscribe to the service. So you must, and there's no discount for that. Like, if they said, hey, we're going to sell it as a GameStop or Walmart exclusive, we're going to charge you, instead of $59, let's say they went $79, but it includes your year subscription. People would be fine, because they're already paying $70 or $80 a year for PlayStation Plus or Gold. I don't think there's anybody that's going to be getting the service that doesn't already have a service like it with another console.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If you play online, you play online.
And the other thing was that was brought up, you know, the free games you get and all that. It's just the NES titles. Why? And then they brought up, well, Xbox with games with Gold, and then you've got PS Plus. You're getting like $50 games or $70 games, and they're still, their response to that is, we're not competing with them. We don't even want to know what they do.
That's stupid.
So
that's
they're very stupid. They've always been very close-minded that way. Mm-hmm. This seems very inept. You're making a controller that isn't even going to, it's not even going to be big on the aftermarket, because it only works with like five games.
Yeah, it's very minimally functional.
It's going to be for completionists.
Yeah, if they made it more of a gimmick like they usually do, where it's still functional for other things, although maybe not very useful.
I like, thought it would be functional for it, like when you buy, you know, you can buy Mario Versus and those certain like NES games.
Yeah.
No, only with that online service.
That's so stupid.
So it's something with the software that's not going to allow it to work. It's going to be software locked out, not hardware.
Lame. Anyway, I guess the other piece of news, I just want to mention this very, very quickly before we transition into weird news, is Isabelle from Animal Crossing. There's a new Animal Crossing. I don't care.
Yes.
But there's a new Animal Crossing character.
2019.
In Smash.
They teased it, and they teased the Animal Crossing, and they, you know, they've been trolling people. That was funny. So I'm just trying to, you know, sum up and wrap up what it was. Oh, they announced Mega Man, but Mega Man was already leaked earlier.
Also, Luigi's Mansion 3.
Luigi's Mansion 3. The Yoshi game has a new name.
Yeah, Yoshi's Crafted World or something?
Yeah, Crafty World. Yeah. It looks really cool.
Instead of just being wool, it's like paper plates and all those other craft
supplies. That's cool.
Kirby's Epic Yarn is getting a port to 3DS.
Yes, and so is the original.
That game was fun.
So is the original Luigi's Mansion.
With two-player support, which is weird.
They showed off some Yo-Kai Watch stuff, I think. Then they also... they showed off those. There was not a lot for 3DS, but there was a few announcements. Like basically, they showed off a couple titles.
Yeah, City Skylines is now available on Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, and which is cool because it's basically what SimCity should be. That was pretty straightforward, and the rest was basically dedicated a lot to the Square Enix stuff.
Yeah,
the new Game Freak game. I don't believe. Oh, and then they showed off Xenoblade Chronicles, the expansion.
Mm-hmm. More updates for Mario Tennis Aces, four new characters over the next few months. So they're going to keep putting out more updates until next June, I think, which kind of means
the game
they're just going to...
For the game that most people just returned.
Die after that. Bowser's Inside Story is coming to 3DS, along with an untold Bowser Jr. saga, which looks kind of interesting, to be honest. RPG elements with Bowser Jr. Mario's always had a good RPG side. It's bizarre, but it works.
So, yeah, that's pretty much our Nintendo Direct show.
So, essentially, you know, other than the Nintendo Online stuff not being so great. Oh, wait, sorry. One last thing. The fucking Capcom beat-em-up package.
Oh, right, yeah. I'd like to know why the D&D's not in there.
License.
Yeah, you're right.
Because when they did it, it wasn't Wizards of the Coast that owned it.
Yeah, it was TSR. But it's on Steam.
That's different, right? Different than home console rights.
Versus, right, yeah.
The big one there is that mech game,
Armored Core?
Armored Warriors, or it's called, or Armored... The one where you can beat up your enemies and then attach their parts to your body as you go through it, that's never been released in a home console, ever. And that's one of the ones where it was just like, raging boner, because online play for all
solid.
Of it. $26 for all seven games, and they all have online play.
That's pretty cool.
So that's pretty wicked. So I mean, overall, the only point I took away from it is, you know, it would have been a 10 out of 10 for me, or almost a 10 out of 10. It's just the online is, you know, just show me Nintendo that it actually works before, and that people aren't going to complain.
Let's also see that there's some infrastructure in the online play itself, because Nintendo's had pretty shoddy internet.
They also don't really have great technical support if you have to call them. Or if you have to communicate with them online for support.
Yeah,
Sony is like, and Microsoft, same deal. Any time of day or night, you get on the live chat with them, you're at help within 10 minutes.
And yeah. Although I have had really positive experiences with Nintendo. They used to tell me...
Also, you're a media.
Well...
they treat people a little differently from what I've heard.
Like, because one of the experiences I had is I lost my 3DS and they said all my purchases are gone. I'm like, no, it's not. Because I can get my account back. So can you restore my purchases? Well, we're really not supposed to.
But you said you were media, right?
Yeah, I said I was media. And they're like, oh, shit. Well, in
so
that
we're not,
case...
we're not telling people, say you're media, but...
Don't lie. But yeah, don't lie. We won't lie about
they will,
the privileges.
They will check your credentials. But, yeah, like, I was going to say, they are...
Mind you, this was also about 6-7 years ago.
They just... Here's the thing. I'm not ragging on Nintendo. They're just known for not having the best consumer support.
By comparison
but
to their
when you compare
to
them
their
to the people
quote unquote not competitors.
Yeah, when you compare them to the people they say they're not competing with.
So that was our wrap on Nintendo Direct. We're going to take a brief break here as we transition into the weird news this week. Then we're going to wrap things up with the Satan's Pantry. So we'll be back, guys, right after this.
What makes you qualified to be a reporter? I'm willing to violate anyone's privacy for my personal gain and then claim with a straight face that the public has a right to know.
By the hand of Zeus, what manner of deviltry is this?
I love fake alien poop day.
Welcome to Twig's Weird News, where we take a look at the weird, wacky, the just plain strange that happened in the world this week. And this one is particularly strange. So, evidently, there is outrage as the NRA, or the National Rifle Association, has put Thomas the Tank Engine and his friends in KKK hoods as part of an online video.
Why?
Now, because viewers of the National Rifle Association's online channel were pissed off as there was the show called Relentless last Friday posted a graphic of the Thomas the Tank Engine people in KKK hoods because... in the Thomas the Tank Engine show, they're diversifying the cast. They're adding a new character named Mia, or Naya, who is a train from Kenya. And evidently, she debated whether a children's show should introduce ethnic diversity when its anthropomorphized characters are mostly trains.
How did they get a train from Kenya to wherever Thomas is?
That was what I was going to say. And other questions?
Because, you know, the KKK now, known for its racial
now,
diversity.
I was going to say, there's ignorance in my mind right now, but it's... Do they have trains in Kenya? Like,
Is there a train system in Kenya, honestly?
That's what I mean. Not like, oh, you know, can they afford trains? Is there actually a train system in a lot of African countries?
It would make sense to me.
I would imagine there would be a lot of them, but, like, is it
maintained still? Because a lot of things are you know, they might be older, or because the country's borders change a lot.
Part of the issues that a lot of African countries have is accessibility. You can't get places
fast. No, I was
going to
say, it's the part of the world where... it would have been the last place they built trains.
I would see it as one of the first places simply because African diamond mines? Resource rush?
That's individual. That's like moving it from the actual mine to like a place they offload it. I mean, like interconnected...
Yeah, a railway network.
I don't know. I mean, we're probably looking too far into it.
That's what I'm saying. We're probably ignorant about it. But yes, the first thing that came to mind was, how the hell did it get to England?
Yeah, how'd they get from Kenya to England via train?
I don't know. My question is,
it's supposed to be in the States.
I don't know. I really don't know.
I don't know.
But yeah,
all I know is that Ringo Starr was in it.
I just like the fact how people are getting all pissed off over this. And like I said, why they picked the KKK? Because... like, as I've made the joke before, yeah, the KKK, known for their ethnic diversity.
Yes, tolerance is always an important...
It's always a cool thing at those clan meetings.
I don't know, why? What?
Yeah, like,
well,
really,
why is that
NRA,
a hill
what
you're
was
choosing?
Your endgame with this?
You're choosing to die on the hill of Thomas the Tank Engine and diversity.
So they're arguing they don't want it, or they want it?
Yeah, they're like, they shouldn't introduce ethnic diversity into children's cartoons. This is more of next stop Virtue Town. I don't see the big deal, personally.
Diversity exists in children's lives.
Last time I checked, pretty much everybody takes a train at least once in their life. So.
Trains are pretty common. It's exciting to take trains, but
yeah, it's fun.
Well, why shouldn't there be any diversity in children's cartoons? What are you exposing them to? Tolerance and acceptance that some people might look a little different, but
yeah,
still be the same.
If you're a white supremacist and you're riding a train, surprise, surprise, the conductor could be anybody. You don't get to see them.
Yeah, exactly. You
don't get to go, I'm not riding that train because that person I don't like is driving it.
Then you don't get to take the train, loser.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought that was a really, really weird story that I saw this week. Another story that we're going to talk about as soon as it decides to come back here. This one I thought was amazing. Fortnite, the video game we've talked about before on this show, has now been cited in more than 200 divorce proceedings.
Which is funny, because I thought every Fortnite player was 12, but I didn't know you could get married that young.
Evidently, supposedly...
probably the ones that would be mad about the Thomas the Train diversity.
So according to this,
if you're in the deep south and I've offended you, that's okay.
According to online divorce service Divorce Online,
there's a sad website.
Evidently 5% of all British divorces have been attributed to Fortnite.
Oh, you're in Fortnite! Na, 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 fish and chips!
No, maybe they're just being confused
with... What the fuck, Alex? Ooh, the fish and chips! Yes. Ooh, my build, my scar! What
I'm
the fuck?
I'm a clobber, you good!
Maybe they're just confused because British use the term Fortnite as a measure of time. And so they're just attributing it wrong. We haven't been laid in over a fortnight. And so they think they're talking about the game, but actually it's just a sex problem.
Still, 200 divorces breaking up over Fortnite?
The game's not even that old.
Yeah, I know. And just the fact
that... That's a few hundred a day.
So you're looking at people aged 18 to whatever, yeah, and their significant others are saying, look, man, we can't be together because you play X amount of time playing Fortnite.
They're just being nice. They don't want to say it's the teeth.
It's just some other problem or...
I do not endorse what these people say. But yeah, so I thought that was kind of a weird story this week. And one very quick hit this week. Evidently, a solar observatory in New Mexico was evacuated by the FBI and the Army this past week, and nobody knows why.
They found them.
Well, you said New Mexico, right?
Yeah.
Not Mexico itself.
Not Mexico. Like,
not old Mexico.
So they invaded a sovereign nation to evacuate a building? No, but
would it surprise you in the end?
No, no, not really.
Now, supposedly, what I've read upon this, not the conspiracy sites, it was evacuated due to a rocket payload, and it may have had something dangerous on board, like mercury or some bullshit. And they're like, yeah, there's a potential chemical risk. But, yeah, so... Some people say it's aliens. Some people say we saw something on the sun. But there's so many independent observers... watching the skies, if something was going on, we'd probably have some idea by now.
With the age of Twitter, there's no way to hide things anymore.
Exactly. Something will get out, no matter what. Everything gets leaked.
Yeah, like, hell, live leak, anonymous. Somebody would know something.
It wouldn't even be there. Here's the thing. It wouldn't even be on 4chan. It wouldn't be on B. It would show up in the IRC chats.
Someone would know.
And the news groups, because... people forget that news groups have been, and the bulletin boards have been open since the 80s, and all those old timers in there that share all the information, like, that's where information goes first, and then it gets delineated into Reddit and everywhere else. So, if you really want to see what's going on, just head on to one of the old, you know, IRC chats or news groups, because that's
where
it would be, yeah.
So, yeah, that's what happened in the world this week. Not a whole hell of a lot strange other than racist tank engines,
Fortnite divorces,
and aliens. So we'll be back right after this Satan's Pantry, and of course our review of Fire Pro Wrestling on the PlayStation 4 and the PC. Though the PlayStation 4 is the one we're focusing on. So
correct.
We'll be back, guys, right after this.
Welcome to hell.
You wouldn't even serve it to a pig. It's inedible.
Welcome back to Satan's Pantry, where we decide to walk down the international aisle of your favorite grocery store, or perhaps one that you really, really, really detest, and we're trying to find the tasty, delicious, and the sometimes downright disgusting things. And for the next couple of weeks, Alex has taken control of this segment, and he's brought us some tasty treats from the Far East. What do we got, Alex?
This time we have two different Cheetos, but they are, from what we could tell, Korean Cheetos. I will double check by reading the back. And usually... they have the country in English. Well, they don't have the country, but it has a website, Lot Confectionery, so it's not actually the Cheeto, like the Lay's company, .co.kr. So Korea.
There we go.
Yes.
All the Korean writing on the front.
Koritos.
Also, like I am completely stupid, and I didn't look at the sticker they threw on with the English nutrition information that says product Korea. So I'm going to assume they're both exactly the same that way. Yeah, they both are. Okay, so now apparently there's a contest. We can cut something out and we could win something. It looks like, are they Pogs? They're Pogs!
There's Pogs inside?
No.
Still valid?
No. Those are Pogs on the back with a Keeny Slammer and everything.
Oh my god, they are!
So,
that's cool.
I think is it resurgence, or did it just take this long for Pogs to get to Korea?
Probably. I mean, it was Jamaica first in the 60s and 70s, then it hit here, and then...
I remember when Pogs were called Milk Caps.
That's from the... They were originally from, I think, a Jamaican company was doing the drinks, and... Jamaican or Hawaii, one of those two.
I was never a Pog guy, though.
Oh, I was.
Yeah, you know.
I was the guy that
the islands are next to each other.
I went and found a piece of pipe that was like...
Oh, for your slammer?
And I crushed people's stuff just to screw with them.
Oh, so you'd knife edge
people. So, the two flavors we have are... It just says Cheeto Snack Spicy and sweetened with aspartame.
Oh, this will be delicious.
That's weird.
Yes, aspartame flavor.
And the other one is Cheeto Snack Barbecue. So I'm assuming the spicy one, it's not the extra hot flavor. It looks different. They have a picture on the front of it that shows a couple different peppers and then onion, it looks
still
like.
Still Chester Cheeto?
Yes. And it doesn't look like they've changed his mascot for the Asian market at all. Like, you know, sometimes they do that for KFC, how he looks like Asian Colonel Sanders. It's the same logo that we usually have. It's got to be Pogs, dude.
Why is there a witch hat on the back of the bag?
What?
Halloween? Maybe?
Maybe.
Check the expiry date on these.
These were just freshly... They had a whole bunch of them there. Expires...
Year 3000. I bet cheese was that didn't expire.
These expire... Well, okay, the barbecue ones, which was the last bag that was there, expires at the end of the month. Or, sorry, best before end of the month. The next one's good till October.
Okay.
Before does not mean
now, it doesn't say anything special about, like, information on it as far as it being... What does it say here? Anything about hot, sweet taste powder.
Yes. I often have that for breakfast.
And this one has barbecue flavor powder. Sure. Yeah, of course. Anywho, let's open up the spicy one first.
All right. Take a nice big whiff.
Spice. Oh yeah,
the other one is barbecue flavor. I don't think that's a flavor we've ever had of.
I can recall.
At least in Canada, maybe in the States, but I don't remember hearing that.
No, like the chili think maybe. Fairly popular, or apparently the bag is somewhat challenging to open at first.
It looks weird. They look.
Oh,
faded.
Yeah, they look.
They're
kinda...
half between a Cheeto and those Cheeto corn puffs.
Like Takis?
The corn puffs.
Yeah, those corn puffs.
So I'm going to take like three of them, and I'll try them all at once, but I'm going to pass it around.
Yeah, they don't have that sort of dark orange coloring on them that you would expect from Cheetos.
So they're clearly not the red hot ones. They have a smell like
that's so
like Asian barbecue.
Okay, I'm going to take a big sniff
like,
of the
like
bag.
Korean barbecue.
That's a good smell.
Oh, wait a minute. The other one that is barbecue flavored, it's going to be like bologi beef barbecue.
Oh, I love that smell.
This is really... I might have to get more of these. These were $1 something each.
Oh, this is a
each.
Nice taste.
Well, you have the whole bag.
You already dipped in?
Yeah, I'm tasting them. A bit of a Asian spice.
I'm tasting Mr. Noodles powder right now.
Yeah! Yes!
It took me forever to find exactly what I was tasting.
It's the noodle flavor.
But it's... Yeah, it's right out of the Mr.
Noodles.
Oh, I got
a prize! I got a slammer or something in here.
Cool!
Okay.
We're not eating that, for the record.
Now, what is it? I don't know what this is, actually.
Is it a sugar?
It has a picture of a football on it.
It's a football.
And it's got Russia on the back of it.
World Cup, maybe?
It's got a weird sort of hooky thing on here. We're going to have to use Google Translate to figure it out, but it came with a toy.
Wow.
When was the last time you had a snack that came with... That's really good, actually.
That is amazing.
Yeah, those were... Oh, man.
I think next trip we're going to have to pick up a bunch of them, and I'll pass them out to people.
Yeah, they are... They have just a little bit of spice to it.
It's not bad, though.
Flaming hot. They're not flaming hot Cheetos by any means. They're just... They have a bit
prize.
Of spice and a lot of flavor.
This one is Chester listening to headphones, and on the other side it says Peru. So it's.
I feel like
be,
it's World Cup related.
But there was a football on the other one, though. Like not a...
Not a football international.
Not a football.
Not football with a U.
Okay. These have a similar color, and they're kind of weird looking as well. They're kind of brownish.
Did you smell it?
What's our smell?
It's interesting. It doesn't smell like Cheetos.
I like the smell of the other one.
That does not smell like barbecue.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Okay, let's grab a few.
And I'll pass it over to Michael.
See what we got. There we are.
Okay, so the other ones smell like Mr. Noodles. These ones smell like...
burnt popcorn.
Yeah, it smells like carbon. Right,
let's give it a go.
Yeah, I'm smelling burnt popcorn. That's the smell I'm getting.
The taste is burnt popcorn with barbecue.
Yeah, it's burnt
popcorn. Yeah, burnt barbecue popcorn.
They both have...
nice crunch on it, though.
They both have that bologna beef sort of...
Yeah, these are not as good.
They're not as good? No, but those spicy ones? Want a couple more of those? Just
yes, I do.
Because I think I know I'm going to have to go back down there. Next time I come out here, we're going to have to do a trip to pick them up again.
So it looks like we had some hits and some misses with the Cheetos from Korea.
No, it wasn't really bad.
No.
They're just different.
Yeah.
I mean, the barbecue ones... if you offered me a small bag, I'd be okay. Definitely couldn't do a large.
Yeah, and these are not the tiny bags that you'd find at a grocery store, but they're not the full size bags. They're like 1.5 of a personal size bag.
Yeah. So overall, I'd say for what you pay for, you definitely get your money's worth.
For $1 something, it's pretty good.
For flavor,
plus
it's
prizes.
Yeah, it's a matter of personal taste for the different flavors. Some of them.
No, the spicy one is really significantly. Good. It's not even spicy. It's like a tangy, sharp barbecue.
Yeah, it's good. So yeah, definitely found another winner this week here on the show. Man, Alex is batting 500 for here. So
pretty good.
Anyway, we'll be back right here on Twig, the flagship of stupidity.
Jean-Philippe, what is that?
I'm on.
Oh, fuck off. AJP, take him and yourself back to fucking Belgium.
We are looking at Fire Pro Wrestling World for the PS4, brought to you by Spike Chunsoft. This is one of their first titles they're releasing as a publisher, because they're known mostly as a developer, and they opened up a Western division to localize and publish games. Now this title, it's a arcade style wrestling game, was released on the PC last year, and it finally is getting a port to home consoles as a PlayStation 4 exclusive.
Now this is a title that I've heard a number of people talk about online on Twitter and Facebook, etc., saying it's the best wrestling game since the WWE games, and it is more of a throwback to the arcadey, basically loose controls, more less simulation, more goofy fun.
Yeah, like it's interesting. It's sort of a weird dynamic in that the graphics and the button controls are simplistic enough that it makes it feel like an 80s or 90s arcade game. But the actual character creation is more simulation and in-depth than anything I've ever seen in any game ever.
Yeah, basically, outside of the PC version, I cannot think of any other game that has this in-depth of character creation that isn't a Bethesda game, that isn't Skyrim, that isn't Fallout.
It's more than those. Like, you have the ability to make your head bigger or smaller up to so many points. Arms, forearms, hands, feet, everything. Then your height, your weight, your individual colors on like certain parts of your body, your hair, your makeup, everything. There's literally millions of combinations you can do.
Absolutely. And speaking of that, now with the most updated patch to this game that was released at the beginning of September, you can now download custom characters that have been created. So if you want to recreate your favorite wrestler, like Daniel Bryan, the Ultimate Warrior, maybe Ric Flair, or maybe even someone from TNA or something like that, or even local people to you, you can do that.
Yeah, the thing is that they're obviously not official, and so you're not going to be able to get a WWE character that's official because it's not WWE, but you can make people look and sound and move pretty much like anybody you could imagine. You can create move sets, you can create ring entrances, you can create belts, you can create your own referees.
Yeah.
You can create almost anything in this game. And full disclosure, the reason this review is coming out now rather than right at launch day was when we received the copy for review, it didn't have the online support for the Fire Pro Wrestling World creator, where you can get the character created options. Now, that launched at launch day, and if there's one downside to this game, it's not easy to figure out how to actually import characters that are character created. You have to go into one of your character creation settings, launch the Fire Pro Wrestling World, which actually launches a browser within the PS4 that you then have to manually sign up and log into their website through, which is not the easiest unless you have a keyboard and mouse, trying to navigate it and do it with the PlayStation 4 controller. And once you're there, then you get to subscribe to individual characters that you can search for. And, you know, if you search for Hulk Hogan, that'll be one that shows up. But if it's a more obscure wrestler, you might not be able to find them, or you have to search through pages upon pages. And from there, they're supposed to show up in your game. I didn't see a spot to directly import them. They just sort of appear.
Yeah, it's not as intuitive or user-friendly as perhaps we would like.
There's not really any description on how to do it or instructions on how to actually use the service. It's something that on PC would have been very, very easy and integrated because it's just part of Steam.
It's just a few clicks away.
Yeah. So here it's a little bit tricky, but you can get it up and running. You know, follow the steps that, you know, are logical to you, and you should be able to get it up and running. As far as the online community, it's pretty ravenous. Like, there are hundreds upon hundreds of character creations.
One of the things I will say about this, now I'm coming from the WWE 2K series into this, which is more of a sim than it is anything. And I don't like this game myself. And Alex had this hyped up me for months, saying it's going to be this arcadey experience, and it is. But I'm surprised I crave the simulation aspects of the wrestling experience.
Which is funny, because I'm on the exact opposite end of the spectrum, where I hate the simulation. I hate how bogged down and clunky wrestling games have become in recent days. If I wanted to be a wrestler, I'd be a wrestler. I don't need to, you know, control every little aspect of, you know, grip and
strike from the front, strike from the back.
Yeah, I want a beat-em-up. It's basically, that's the idea. This is a beat-em-up that has moves, and it appeals to me, and it appeals to a lot of other people out there. So it's really an alternative. It can complement if you like the WWE games already, or it can be that alternative that, you know, I've been craving and a lot of other
people
have been craving.
And I will say this. The game does have some technical depth to it. It's just not for me. I want an in-depth experience here. Perhaps I'm looking at this closer to a fighting game as opposed to an arcade-style beat-em-up.
Yeah, I think if you were used to playing arcade games that had wrestling, it would be a little different.
Exactly. So I think that's where me and Alex differ.
It doesn't, but it's still an immense value, because this is priced at less than a regular retail game. You know, in Canada, a regular retail game is $80. It's at the $65 price point.
Yeah.
So it is according to it. Now, there is a extended New Japan career mode that's included, where you can start from the bottom, work your way up. That is something, I'll be honest, a lot of people probably aren't going to do. This game is tailored towards quick online matches and tournaments with friends.
Or party at your house.
Yes, exactly.
So that being said, that is our review of Fire Pro Wrestling. Be sure to check it out whether you're a big fan of wrestling games or not. But in my opinion, it's definitely a try before you buy. But Alex says it's definitely worth it.
I say it's an entryway point into getting into wrestling games.
And Fire Pro Wrestling is available on PC and PS4. Those impressions were just as PS4, of course. But overall, it's been a pretty good week.
Yes.
It really has, man. It's been a good time to be a gamer this week, unless you're married, then you're getting divorced.
And Broketober is going to be more Broketober than ever.
Oh, yeah. I am so screwed for the rest of this year. My God.
I am, like I said, I am pleasantly surprised with Call of Duty Blackout. I am very happy with the Nintendo Direct that happened this past week.
Hell, the Battlefield beta impressed me, too.
I've heard a lot of people in the Battlefield community were not super thrilled. They were like, it's okay.
I don't know. I didn't like Battlefield 1 very much, but this feels like a return to form for me, so I like it.
I'm going to give it a whirl if I can get a press copy, or if I can find a copy used. I'll give it a whirl for sure, because I skipped World War 1, and I hear if you liked World War 1, you'll probably like this. I'm still trying to convince Steve Megatron Phillips to hop on the COD train. But he's always like, Battlefield!
Is World War One? Is it World War One or is it 5 or something? It's five. Like it's like $10 on PS4 right now on the PSN.
I don't know.
You would know better than I would.
Because I was just looking, and my brother and I picked up Titanfall 2 Ultimate Edition.
Oh, such a good
for
game.
For $10.
Nice.
Phenomenal game.
So
great multiplayer.
I was like, dude, does it have single player? He goes, yeah. And I want to play with you. And I'm like, well, it's like, isn't it like $90 because it's the, you know, Ultimate and it's digital? He's like, it's $10, dude.
Yeah. That's a title that should have sold better, but the problem is it was released during a really weird calendar part last year.
But
so
yeah, so check,
that's
check,
unfortunate.
I guess check PlayStation and Xbox for deals on these games.
Yeah. So yeah, we will be back on the show next week with, I'm sure, a stellar lineup as we often always do. Lots of reviews coming down the pipe.
It's a busy,
busy
season.
Stuff.
There's it's not just catch up, it's just there's a lot that is coming out soon.
So your wallets are going to suffer.
Indeed.
Much like you, my friends. So anyway, until next time, we have been
Suffer Well, Mr. Christopher.
Alex.
I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying live free or die hard. We'll catch you guys again next week, right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Well, kids, that's enough for one night, eh?
You know, I don't think this show is suitable for children.
I don't think this show is suitable for anybody.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear something like this.
Insert a clip here, you dick.
Check out our website at thisweekingeek.net for more geek content. And subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Follow and message us on Twitter at thisweekingeek. And check out our Instagram at twig_official_podcast. If you're the good old-fashioned email type, send us an email at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
We now join America's most popular show already in progress. Everybody loves Hypnotoad.